Hey, it's Dolo White, and this is the Dolo White Podcast. Look, every episode of this podcast ain't going to be super sexy, but I promise the content will always be good. And I think that's where this episode lands. It's not super enticing, but it's full of gems. My guest today is Thomas Moore, the author of the New York Times bestseller, Care of the Soul, and his latest book, Soul Therapy, The Art and Craft of Caring Conversations, which is exactly what we talk about today. I mean, let's face it, for most of us, when friends or family come to us with problems, we either give them advice, tell them what we would do in that situation, or what I do, try to fix all of their problems. But that makes their issues about us, and it ain't about us. It's about them. It's their story. We need to remind ourselves of that in order to comfort our loved ones and really start to have caring conversations. So with that in mind, I hope you like this episode. If you don't, just shut the fuck up about it. I'm an artist. I'm sensitive about my shit. Welcome to the Dolo White Podcast.
Polo Gini. Live.
Yeah. What's up?
This is not live. It's completely recorded.
Broadcasting from one of the top recording studios in all of Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, that's not true at all. I'm probably at home doing this.
He's been called one of the greatest thinkers of his time.
Literally no one has ever called me that. I do kind of agree with it, though.
Right here.
A 2017 recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize.
That's just a flat-out lie.
Talking politics, community, race, religion, entertainment, sports, and whatever the fuck else.
Yeah.
It's the Dolo White Podcast.
Episode 28 now of the Dolo White Podcast. My guest today, the author of the New York Times bestseller, Care of the Soul, and most recently, his latest book, Soul Therapy, The Art and Craft of Caring Conversations. Thomas Moore, thank you for being here.
No, thank you.
I know you talk a lot in your book about the art and craft of caring conversations. Specifically, I've seen the term therapeutic conversations. Can you explain exactly what a therapeutic conversation is?
Yes, I can at least get started about it. There's a particular type of conversation we could have where we are talking to a person who has some issue, you know, is in pain or confusion or something like that. And they have asked us, most likely, if they could talk to us just to ease their mind or clarify things. That's a particular kind of conversation. The word therapy means to care or to serve. So it doesn't mean you're going to solve problems. It doesn't mean that you're going to figure this person out. It means you're going to offer some care so they feel better through the whole thing and maybe get some clarity in what's happening to them.
I think care probably manifests different with different people, right? So the way you care for one person is different for another person. And I think we all make the mistake of when somebody comes to us with any kind of issue, we all say, all right, at least I do. I'm always like, well, my first thing is, how can I fix this problem for you? And, you know, trying to get out of that mind state is not easy. But how do we know how to care for each individual person? Or is it better for us just to give care in the way that we know how?
Oh, yeah, you have to do it the way you know how. The thing is, what you're offering is yourself. And I think what helps is just do that and say what really is going to be useful is just being there. They're not asking for you to solve their problem, or even if they are, that's not your role. Your job is not to solve their problem. That's for a professional sometime. You're not a professional. You're somebody, maybe a friend, acquaintance, a relative, somebody there that someone probably trusts if they've asked you to talk. And so you trust yourself. But you have to watch out. There's some things you have to watch out for. And one of them is that you don't try to solve their problem or that you don't give them advice. That's not really that's useful. Advice is not useful. What would be useful would be to be with them in such a way where you don't do too much, but you let them know that you're listening to them and you encourage them to tell the stories of what's going on. Storytelling is really important, big part of this. And what it does, to be more technical, it transforms a raw experience into a narrative. And that itself is helpful to get a story to tell. And so then, once they're talking and they tell their stories and you can support and encourage that, that's all you need to do. You know, that's being therapeutic, really. The less you do, the better. I'm a professional and I try to keep my contribution to about 10%. time spent.
I think a lot of us fall in that trap of always wanting to give advice when somebody, especially somebody we care about, comes to us with any kind of issue. How do we get out of that mindset of being there? I guess you just kind of got to be present and remind yourself you're not here for advice, you're here to care.
That's the purpose of this book of mine.
Yeah.
The purpose is to, you keep that around and it tells you don't give advice. That's the thing. You have to learn that because it's more natural, which means unconscious, that you unconsciously just give advice because that's just what you're used to, what you think about. That's what people think about. But in fact, it really, what is advice? It's your own, you know, are you that smart that you can take this complicated life in front of you here and figure it out and know what to say? I don't think so.
I don't have my life together, but I have no business telling somebody else what to do with theirs. Yet here we are. I still do that quite a bit.
Who wouldn't feel that way? It's the same for us all.
You mentioned, you know, you're a professional therapist and, you know, I'm in therapy. And one thing I have noticed is that, you know, various therapists throughout the years, they don't really give me too much advice, right? So if you're in therapy, is that the only thing you could take from the professional on is don't give too much advice? Are there other lessons that we could learn from professional therapists like yourself?
Well, there are lots of them. And I spell them out in the book, quite a number of them. So another thing you can learn from the professional therapist is to be cautious when you talk to somebody else that, well, similar to what I was saying before, you encourage that person to tell what's going on with them. And if they refer to somebody else or some other event, something, you encourage more stories because all those different stories, what they do is they sort out, they break up this dense, unmanageable emotional thing into its parts. That's what stories are. They are the breaking up into parts. And that is useful because then you the sorting that goes on there helps. That's a step along the way. So I, as a therapist, I often think that to myself. If I don't want to get anywhere, I don't want to rush to a solution because I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to get there that way. What I do is I try to be modest in my expectations. I'm happy to get the story, keep the story going and get more stories. And that leads to other things. And eventually, it helps a person calm down and not have that intensity of emotion.
Throughout your years of doing this work, and you talk a lot about the soul as well, right? Like your soul, there's spirituality. It's not just like straight therapy. So let's talk a little about spirituality. Like how do we, I guess, bring the spirituality into conversations, caring conversations, therapeutic conversations that we're having with people? Like what part does spirituality play in that?
In lots of ways. One of the most obvious ways would be an awful lot of people are going through trouble because of the religious upbringing they have. I can't tell you how much.
Yeah. I'm working through it myself. I grew up Catholic. I'm working through it myself.
So I did too. So that's where I am. So yeah, it's that's an issue. So it's behind you. And you know, those things you learned religiously when you're a kid, I don't know why, more than other things, they just stick with you. Mm. You know, I wished I learned how to play the piano or something, you know, but it was all of these lessons about don't do this and don't do that. And they stick with you. They just stick with you forever. Part of the spiritual realm, it's a very small part of it maybe, but I start with that. I try to figure out what influence you've had. And you know, some people, boy, they've really had a rough time from their religious background. So that's really worthwhile spending some time at with an open mind. You know, you don't want to be judging the religion all the time. That doesn't do any good. So that's a start. And then from then you can be a little more broad in your idea of what the spiritual things are. So it might be the natural world. Some people find a great deal of their spiritual satisfaction in nature. Yeah. And some people don't have any. And so they're saying, I like to have a spiritual, I feel like I'm spiritually frustrated. I'm tired of this religion. I don't want any religion. What do I do? I usually suggest becoming more connected to the natural world because it's almost like a connection between yourself and the spirit is nature, the natural world. Whatever that is for you, I can't specify exactly what you should do because you have your own tastes. You know, each person has their own idea of what they'd like to do. Someone tells me to climb a mountain. It's not for me right now. I'm sorry. But to go sit by the ocean, I'll do that.
Right. I think the coolest thing about learning more about spirituality, and I've been, well, I'll say agnostic at least 10, 15 years at this point, but my wife is very spiritual, and I've learned that spirituality has no real definition. You don't put it in a box. It's what really, literally, whatever feels good to you, do that more often. And for me, I've recently found that that's popping the top off my Jeep and having the sun beat down on my head. Like, I love riding around like that. And you bring up nature, and, you know, maybe I don't like going on hikes and getting my legs eaten up by mosquitoes, but I do like the sun beating down on my head when I'm riding around in my car. And that type of thing can be spiritual.
The sun has been worshipped for thousands of years. You're right. You're in a long, long tradition there.
I'm not the first one to discover the sun. Huh? I'm not.
The Egyptians are pretty good at it. You know? So, it's a very good idea. And it's very simple like that. It doesn't take anything too fantastic or mystical. That's the point. And you can do that, you know, in your own way and make a ritual out of it. That's a good way to add some spirituality to it, is to make a ritual. So you go at certain times, maybe. That the religions have taught us that you can ritualize things, and that adds to their spiritual intensity.
I want to ask you one more question, and I'll let you out of here. I know you're doing a million of these today, but I want to ask you about parenting, because I have a 4-year-old daughter, and my wife and I have been very conscious, very present, I'm trying really hard to be very present with my daughter. You know, we don't yell, we don't spank, we don't do anything like that. We try to talk everything out with her as much as possible. It is a frustrating way to parent sometimes, but, you know, here we are. So I do want to get some therapeutic conversations, parenting tips from you as well while you're here.
No, the first step is to realize, I think the first step is realize you are a parent, you're not a person. What I mean by that is that we each have a role in everything we do. And when you're a parent, you're not speaking as an individual person with your own personal frustrations. You've got to set those aside. That's just the way it is if you want to be a parent. And when you're talking to your children, that's who you are. You're not yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't just indulge yourself in anything and everything. In general, yes, you want to enjoy being a parent, and you've got your own life to live. But when, in that moment, when you're talking to your child, you are a parent. So that's really important. And part of that parent, another subcategory would be, there are moments when you're a parent, when you're speaking to your child, the way I say in this book, therapeutically. Mm-hmm. That is, you are trying to speak to the child in such a way that it helps that child deal with her emotions or her pain, or any frustration she might have that's emotional. That's you are a therapist at the moment. And not in a professional way, obviously, but, you know, in a very simple way for yourself, you're being therapeutic. And that means that you help your child by understanding what's happening, or not understanding, maybe expressing what's going on. So if you can help that child be able to express what's happening, that's really a big step forward. Or if you can just be with them in a way that's not forcing them into reaction. That, you know, like you say, if you can use language well, if you use words well, and words that are not subtly, you know, attacks or judgment, right, but words that show that you are always loving. That's what first thing a parent's got to do, is try to maintain the love no matter what, and let the child feel it. And if you feel they need being corrected, here's a step. Here's something that, boy, I'm glad you brought this up. I rarely think of this. You've got to be very, very cautious of not repeating what your parents did to you. Mm. You know, you may have learned from your own childhood that when a child acts up, that you have to say these scolding words to them.
Right.
That is dumb. Believe me, it doesn't accomplish anything. That is not the way to do it. This is a good moment to be the therapist for your child, and not just indulging in that memory of yours where you automatically, without thinking, meaning unconsciously, do what was done to you. You don't want that.
I saw a meme the other day that said, a toddler's job is to throw a tantrum. Your job as a parent is to not throw a tantrum. And I always try to think of that in those very dark moments when my toddler is, you know, trying every bit of patience that I have left in me. I always try to remember that. Thomas Moore, the book, Soul Therapy, The Art and Craft of Caring Conversations. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you very much for having me talk. It's great.
I want to say thank you once again to my guest, Thomas Moore, for taking the time out and talking to me today. Again, the book is called Soul Therapy, The Art and Craft of Caring Conversations. Definitely pick that up. Very enlightening piece of work there. Brand new episode drops Thursday morning. Great guest, Dr. Shefali, will be speaking with me, man. I'm so excited about this conversation, so definitely make sure you're subscribed or following or whatever the hell the platform you use calls it. Make sure you're doing that. Also, follow me on the Gram, Twitter, TikTok, Clubhouse, everything at DoleWhite101, DoleWhite101. Once again, thank you for checking out the podcast. Again, brand new episode drops Thursday morning with Dr. Shefali. It's going to be amazing. Check me out there. I'm gone.